All right, everybody. We're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I am Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Want to say thank you to the mayor coming in this morning. Sid Edwards talking to us about things going on, as well as District Attorney Hilla Moore. But now, we at the top of the hour. We're moving forward. It's football today. The Jaguars still have some games left on the schedule, and one of them is going up the street, right up Highway 61 to Mississippi, Lorman, Mississippi, as it is called the Reservation, but I've been told it's called the Academic Resort. Whatever you want to call it, it's Alcorn State at the end of the day. And nobody better than to talk about Alcorn and today's matchup with Southern than my man Charles Edmond, who is the voice of Alcorn State Braves. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. Happy Saturday.
What's going on, man? You had your breakfast already, or you headed to have your breakfast?
I've already had my breakfast. I'm already here at the stadium just doing my last-minute prep, and even though it's several hours before kickoff, just trying to get my mind right here.
Hey, trust me, the Jaguars got to get their mind right today. As we know, going to Alcorn is always a tough place for Southern University. And let's look at Alcorn State coming in today, ball game. And I kind of go back a little bit, and I start from you guys starting the season, then I get you to walk me down through that. Starting the season against Northwestern State, losing 20-10 up in Natchitoches, Louisiana, giving Northwestern State their first win in quite some time. Then losing on the road, Alabama A&M beats Alcorn State for the first time in quite some time, 41-31. Then taking on SEC Mississippi State, 63-0 was the final. Then taking it over to Memphis to the Southern Heritage Classic, UAPB and Alcorn. How about UAPB getting a 24-20 victory over Alcorn? And then after a month on the road, the Braves finally made it back to Lorman, Mississippi, and they hosted Prairie View. Prairie View escaped out of there with a one-point victory, 13-12 over Alcorn State. Then homecoming came, 42-0 victory over Lincoln. Then going on the road to be FAMU's homecoming. Florida A&M falling short there to FAMU and the Rattlers, 33-28. Then last week, 32-10 over Mississippi Valley. And then this shocked me, Charles. I'm not going to lie. When I looked up and saw this score, 33-14, Alcorn State all over Texas Southern, I said, man, something had to have happened in that ball game. And let me know what that something was as you look back at that game, talking about Alcorn and Texas Southern and everything else up to this point, Charles.
Well, you know, you started with the very first game of the season against Northwestern State, a team that had lost 20 games in a row and hadn't won a game in 3 years. That's what got the season started sideways. I mean, that was a Debbie Downer, to say the least, and I'm putting it mildly. Just couldn't generate any offense. We had a new quarterback in Jalen Tolbert, and it's taken him a little bit of time to find himself. He has found himself now, playing much better now than he did early in the season. So you start there. So we started sideways there against Northwestern State. Then obviously Alabama A&M, we scored 31 points, which was good because our offense with the new quarterback was kind of a concern. But we scored 31 points, and our defense sprung a leak. Defensively against Northwestern State, we played pretty well. They only had one touchdown. But at the same time, you know, defensively against Alabama A&M, we sprung a leak big time. So offense struggled 1 week, defense struggled, and both teams struggled at one point in the season. But I think, you know, the turning point to me was that Prairie View game. You know, we miss a field goal at the end. You know, a very good Prairie View team, Tremaine Jackson, his first season. And we missed a field goal at the end that could have won the game. We took a sack late that took us out of field goal range. But, you know, as you fast forward to Texas Southern, that was the one game that might just kind of get us going here a little bit. You know, we beat Valley, which was good. We beat Lincoln, which was good. But Texas Southern was one of the hottest teams in the league. You know, they had won 4 games in a row going into the game last week. And although Prairie View lost, Texas Southern still has a shot at the division. It's going to take a Prairie View loss, obviously. But that was an eye-opener. And I think the Braves are on the right path. It's just a matter now of continuing that path against a Southern team that I can't even recognize.
Right.
Can't even recognize this Jaguar team, Perry White. You've seen them more than I have. You look at the stats, you know, only one interception, not many sacks. Defensively, it's just been a struggle. But look, this is where we are. You got a new interim coach in Fred McNair coming in here, and that's going to be one of the big storylines. But, you know, for the Braves, it's just a matter of finishing the season strong. Year 2 of Cedric Thomas, that's going to be the key. But I guarantee you, in the offseason, our fans are going to be asking, where was this team at the beginning of the season? that's going to be talked about the entire offseason, no matter how this thing ends at the end of the regular season.
I want to start on the offensive side of the ball, and you break it down for me, but let's look at some stats right now offensively for Alcorn State. Currently ranking ninth in scoring, averaging 23 points a game right now, near the bottom, just above Southern University, who is dead last in scoring offense in the conference. Then Alcorn State coming in at seventh at total offense right now, Alcorn averaging 355 yards an offense a game. Southern University is dead last at 12th, averaging 300 yards a game. Then looking at rush offense, Alcorn State fifth in the conference right now, averaging 175 yards a game rushing. Southern currently eighth in the conference at 151 yards rushing a game. And then, Charles, we are rounded out at passing. Alcorn State ranked ninth in pass offense in the conference, averaging 179 passing yards a game. Southern University ranked dead last at 12th in the conference, averaging 149 yards passing the game. Let's look at this Alcorn State offense. Let's start with the offensive line and work our way, and let's start with two areas. I say offensive line and then the running back position currently.
Yeah, you know, the offensive line has really played well of late, you know, keeping Jalen Tolbert, our quarterback, upright. We definitely struggled against Florida A&M. That was probably our low water mark in terms of offensive line play. Florida A&M whipped us pretty good on the defensive line versus our O-line. But we've got some veteran presence up there. We got some bodies, and, you know, we've got some girth. But at times we have definitely struggled there. But the last few games in this streak, you go back to Lincoln, you go to Valley as well as Texas Southern, we've played really well up front. And that opens up the running game. You know, we're one of the top running teams in the conference. Last week we had over 200 yards rushing. We've had almost a 300-yard rushing performance in other games this season in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. So I think when you look at that, led by Ja'Corian Sewell, who got banged up in the Texas Southern game last week in the fourth quarter, went in the locker room, came back out, but didn't play. He's going to be a game-time decision. My feeling is, in talking with Cedric Thomas, that he is going to play, but we'll see once he warms up whether he'll be ready to go. We went to the doctor on Monday. Nothing that I've heard that leads you to believe that it's anything serious, but I still think it's a game-time decision whether or not he'll play. So that's the Braves, you know, offense. You know, if you just go back over the years with Arnold Walker and Anthony A-Train Williams and DeLance Turner, we're known for running the football, and we're going to have to get that done today if we're going to have a chance against what I think is a Southern team that's going to play probably the best game of the year. I just have that feeling. You know, pride kicks in. At some point, you get tired of getting whipped.
Hey, don't gas me up, Charles. You sound like you're trying to gas us up.
You can't just keep taking whippings like Southern has taken whippings. Seven straight losses, first time in program history. I had to look that up, and I found that just a little while ago. First time in program history that they've lost seven straight games. That is an unbelievable statistic, but it just shows you, you know, where Southern University is right now. But I think that with Fred McNair coming back, and look, I said this, you know, 30 days ago, Fred McNair coming back here was a story. Now with 7 hours until kickoff, Fred McNair coming back here, the interim head coach, is the story.
That's all we got.
Nothing else has been talked about. I haven't heard anyone talk about the game, the X's and O's, the keys to the game. All I've heard from folks all week long, even our folks, what's the reaction going to be when Coach McNair graces this field on the other side?
It better be a standing ovation.
How,
I mean,
how this thing has gone.
It better be a standing ovation, a key to the school, because it ain't a city. So a key to the school and everything else. Charles, but before we get ready to go to break, I know we talked about the O-line and the running back. Let's talk about the quarterback position and the wide receivers offensively for Alcorn State.
Yeah, Jalen Tolbert has really played well of late. He struggled early on. You know, teams are really stacking the box, but giving Jalen Tolbert all kinds of running lanes on the outside, he wasn't taking advantage of it. Starting with the Florida A&M game, he's been doing that. Florida A&M, Valley, Lincoln, Texas Southern, he's been doing that. So I think that's going to be the key for us. Jalen Tolbert's taking what the defense gives him in terms of his running lanes are concerned. So I think that's going to be, you know, one of the keys to this ball game.
And what about the wide receiver? Because one thing I knew Alcorn always had was physical wide receivers who can go at and, you know, that jump ball, they can grab it as well as being doing a great job at blocking on the outside. Because you said if you want to run the ball, Alcorn State was the team. But those receivers really helped a lot of those running lanes, especially to the outside, being physical and blocking. Alcorn State receivers thus far in 2025.
Yeah, well, Jarvis Rush is a guy that really has stepped up that I think you're going to have to pay attention to. Omarion Blakes will probably be on special teams returning punts or kickoffs. Is really something special on the outside. Then we've got a 6'3 big target in Tyron Warren, a junior from Picayune, Mississippi. He's a tall target on a jump ball. He can go out and get it. And Jacoby Matt, you'll see him in a slot as well as on special teams. So those, you know, the Braves receivers have really come around of late. And we got another kid, a youngster, Jamar Cahoe from Natchez, right up the road, 6'4". Then you could give him a jump ball. He can go get it. So the Braves have some athleticism at the receiver spot. It's just a matter of whether or not Jalen Tolbert puts it in the right spot to give his receivers a chance to go get it.
And I can't forget a quarterback's best friend, the dump off, the tight end. Alcorn in terms of the tight end position. You know, most teams' tight ends have become pretty much obsolete in terms of pass catching. But for Alcorn State, what does that tight end position look like?
Elijah Griffin, he hasn't gotten as many touches as you would like, but Elijah Griffin, the senior from St. Louis, my hometown, you know, we used to have pretty good tight ends in terms of just possessions, but the last couple of years, not the case. But I think over the last few weeks, we're kind of incorporating that tight end more and more here going forward. So we'll see on second and short, third and short, fourth and short. You get your tight end involved, but that's kind of been an issue for us. Hopefully, it'll work itself out a little bit starting today.
St. Louis, I remember U City from up that way. Let me ask you, does St. Louis, in your opinion, have the best fried rice? They say the Chinese food is immaculate.
Absolutely. We call it chop suey up there. And you can't beat it. I haven't been able to figure it out yet. I've been to different places, been all over the place. I haven't been able to match that taste yet. You can't beat Chinese food in St. Louis.
Let's get ready to take a break, everybody. I got my man Charles Edmond, who is the voice of the Alcorn State Braves. When we come back on the other side, we'll look at the defensive side of the ball for Alcorn and today's matchup between Southern and Alcorn State up in Lorman, Mississippi. It's a road game for the Jaguars, so you guys stay tuned. And a homecoming for Fred McNair. So we'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. More of the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Good morning to everybody out there listening on Talk 107.3 across the Baton Rouge Capital City area. And good morning to everybody out there watching on our YouTube and Facebook Live. Glad to have you guys as we're keeping it going. It's Southern versus Alcorn State today. The Jaguars will be on the road taking on, you know, and I got my man Charles Edmond. Charles, let me ask you this because I've been trying to figure this out as I'm talking about this game. It's the word rivalry is never really used with this game, so I really don't know what it is. In my opinion, in my young time as a Jaguar, is it a rivalry or what is this?
I think it's a rivalry because it's the closest school proximity to Southern University. That's the only thing I can put on it, and the fact that it's always been a rivalry because of the history, former AD and Coach Marino Kasem at Alcorn and at Southern University. And just in the 90s when Steve McNair did his thing against Southern University, you know, we've had so many championship-type games here. I remember we were 0-11 in 99, and, you know, we recovered an onside kick late in the game. We recovered it. The guy fell, threw it back in bounds, and Southern recovered. We came down with the ball in the onside kick. And all we had to do was come down with it. He threw it back in bounds. Southern recovered. They win the game. I mean, so it's just been, you know, those type of games that's happened. First two SWAC championship games on campus, Alcorn and Southern. So I just think it's just one of those deals where two schools for Southern, Alcorn, the closest proximity, at least in my opinion, that's how this rivalry developed. And I think even pre-Charles Edmond, I think it's always been that way.
And Alcorn is just a damn thorn in our side. Listen, they're one of the few schools that has a true winning record against the Jaguars and overall. And I, you know, somebody asked me about it. I said, you know, they typically recruit talent from this area, and that talent wants to have the best game when Southern touches the field. And, you know, we've seen that happen in the past. Now, Charles, let's look at defensively for the Alcorn State Braves. And right now, in terms of scoring, defensively, Alcorn State ranks fourth, giving up 24 points a game on average in the conference. When you look at Alcorn State defensively in terms of total defense, Alcorn State right now ranking fifth in the conference, giving up an average of 371 yards a game to opposing offenses. Now, let's talk about the rush defense of Alcorn State. Number two in the conference, which I think that could present a problem for Southern, who wants to run the ball, and that's pretty much the one-dimensional game Southern is falling into, running the ball. Alcorn State second, right behind Jackson State in rush defense, only giving up 136 rushing yards a game. And then let's take it to the passing side of things, where Alcorn State is near the bottom at 10th, right above Southern, who is 11th. Alcorn State giving up an average of 235 passing yards a game. You looking at this Alcorn State team defensively, your thoughts, especially with that great rush defense, but not so good pass defense?
Well, you know, you talked about, you know, the recruiting. You know, one of the times you were here, a guy by the name of Keenan Leachman had a hell of a game against Southern University. I believe that was the last game that Coach Dooley coached. And Keenan Leachman wanted to go to Southern University. He winds up at Alcorn and has a hell of a game. So you just talk about the recruiting aspect of it. But, yeah, defensively, I think you have to look at the last few games. Early in the season, it was a struggle. As a matter of fact, we didn't get a sack until probably midway through the season. Zero sacks until the midway point. And at one point, we got a trophy for having the most sacks. We had over 50 sacks one year and got an award from the FCS about it. So, you know, it was a struggle defensively. But I think right now, if you look at the Texas Southern game, a team that can run the football, we did a really nice job there against Valley, a team that's not known for scoring. We kind of bottled them up a little bit. And then, you know, you start with the Prairie View game, you know, holding a team right there, 13 points. So I think the last few games, I know it's an overall body of work, but the last few games, Braves defense has really kind of found their footing, getting to the quarterback. We've been banged up on the back end of that defense. You know, against Florida A&M, we went for it on a 4th-and-2 from our 35-yard line. And with 5 minutes left and 3 timeouts, that's because the back end of our defense was banged up. Cedric Thomas didn't want to put him back out there in that situation. We didn't get the first down. FAMU scored and kind of pulled away, and even though we scored late. So I think we've had some injuries on the back end of the defense. But I think right now you would say that defensively we're really getting after it a little bit. And, you know, Trey Holly, that's all I've heard this week being at practice. Trey Holly, Trey Holly, Trey Holly. That's all we've heard. And you know, and we know, you know, I know that they're going to put it in his belly a bunch of times to kind of slow down that Braves defense.
Let's look at the Braves defensive line and start there. What play that you've been seeing, and give us some names of guys on that interior defense for Alcorn State?
Well, when you look at this Braves defense up front, I mean, we have been really, really solid up front. You know, Jaden Bost up front, 6'3 grad student, has been really tough. Caden Kennedy, Kenneth Andrews up front. Eric Thomas is a guy that really has been one of our stalwarts up front. And then in the middle, of course, Cedric Roberts, as well as Jaquez Due in the middle of that defense. On the back end, though, Samarion Edwards, the grad student who was kind of all conference coming in, was at football media day. But I think up front we're going to have to get a push, and we're going to have to slow down this Southern offense of sorts, because, you know, I don't know who's going to start at quarterback. I mean, I think that's been the big story. You know, you started out with a really good quarterback there, and then he gets concussed in the Valley game. Looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the year. And so you kind of had a musical chairs there at quarterback. And so I think that's going to be the key. Slowing down Trey Holly, slowing down that running game, and put it in the hands of probably an inexperienced quarterback to try to make plays. And I think that's what the Braves are looking for.
Then let's take it to the linebacker and the defensive backfield. What does that look like for you guys up there at Alcorn?
When we talk about the linebackers, you know, with Jaquez Due up front, well, as Cedric Roberts, I mean, really, the late blitzes have been able to get home. And then on the back end, you got Markell McLaurin. On the back end, Damarian Edwards, as we talked about, one of our top defensive players. We've got another guy named, another kid named Ricardo Butler, who really was picked on against Florida A&M, held his own. And Patrick Kinsey, you know, on the back end. You know, just some experience there. Like I said, we've been banged up there. It's been musical chairs the last few weeks. Forstar to get healthy back there. So I think the Braves have their defense kind of the way they want it at this point. And I know a lot of people are going to say at the end of this season, what happened early in the season? We just didn't have it all together, really offensively or defensively. But we're finding our stride now. And, you know, we've got Grambling here at home and in Jackson State. We can finish this thing out strong. I think some of the criticism that Coach Thomas has been getting, and he's been getting that, no doubt, but winning helps cure that. And, you know, hopefully we can get our third in a row here today.
You know what helped cure it even more? Winning a championship, Charles. That's what gets it done. And I can't forget special teams. What are you guys looking like on special teams? You got a powerful leg back there we're going to have to watch out for today?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, one our starting place kicker left the team, had some family issues, and so he is out for the remainder of the season. But when you look at our kicking game right now with Enzo Garcia, it's done a really nice job in really his range, you know, because he's kind of new on the scene. Cedric Thomas is really watching the range, you know, can't get too far out of the range. We took a sack late against Prairie View, which knocked him out of field goal, even though we attempted a field goal late to try to beat Prairie View, came up short because of that sack. Jacoby Matthews and Amarion Blake, look for those two as far as punt and kickoff return yardage is concerned. As a matter of fact, when you look at our punt return unit, we're one of the better punt return units in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. So usually Perry White, when Southern and Alcorn plays, special teams has always been a factor. You kick a field goal at the end a few years ago down there in Mumford. I just mentioned a special teams foible for us when we went winless 1 year. So special teams is definitely going to be a factor in this game. Somehow, some way, I have a feeling.
And now let's circle. We can't ignore it. You talked about it. It was one of the storylines. Now it is the storyline. Coach Fred McNair, the original Air McNair, of course, all he has done at Alcorn State, I guess you could say he is Alcorn State. Who is Alcorn State if he ain't Alcorn State, right? He gets a chance to come back home. I told him earlier this week, I said, I never thought I'd see the day you would be on the other side coaching another team, and damn sure not Southern University, the team who you whooped up on all those years for a championship. But nonetheless, Fred McNair is coming home. And I think it's going to have an interest of everybody in that area as the interim coach here at Southern University. He is yet to catch to get a victory here at Southern, but he got a chance to coach against FAMU, one of the last teams to check off on his resume. Now coaching against Alcorn State, he has officially coached against all 12 teams in the conference. And for you now, looking at Fred McNair coming back, man, what is this like for the Braves? And don't hate on him. Don't be mad at him because he's a Jaguar right now. He got to get his money, man. He got to get his money.
Well, you know, Fred, look, Fred McNair and me are good. You know, one of the last things he did, and, you know, he gave me access when he was here inside the program at practice. But one of the great things that he did, my mother, you know, last year that he was coach, my mother, who passed away a few months after the season, met Coach for the first time, and Coach gave her an autographed jersey and a football. And she was just so happy for that. And so as far as me and Fred McNair is concerned, it's all good, on and off the field. You know, great dude, great person. And you just cannot take away from what he did here. And I think people are still scorned, frustrated, ticked off in terms of how it ended. It's not like he was fired. He was not fired. He was offered a contract. He had the contract in front of him for a while, had to think about it, and he made the personal and professional decision to move on. And so it's not like he was let go. And I think people were upset about that. Overall, you can't take away the championships he won here, the division titles he won here. You can't take away the Celebration Bowl appearances that we were in when he was here. So if you just take all that, yes, the last couple of years he was coach, it wasn't that great. COVID changed everything for us. We opted out. And so we just never really got it back together after COVID. And so people were upset about just the fact that we were playing so well and doing so well. And the last couple of years we had. But if you just take a deep breath, relax, and evaluate his tenure here, he was really good for us. He was good to me, just being selfish and personal about it. He was good to me. And I think he was good to a lot of people here. It's just the way that it ended. some people might not understand, some people might not agree, but it was a business decision he had to make, and I understand that, and I hope more people understand it as time goes along. So there's no hate as far as I'm concerned. I do think that people are still scorned about it, and I do think that our fans will give him the respect that he deserves and give him the applause that he deserves. And so I think with that, we'll be fine on that accord. Now, there are some people that are angry with him, upset with him, and always will be. And there's nothing he can do about it or we can do about it. But he was good for us overall. If you just look at it, just take the emotion out of it and what he did as a coach and even as a person. You can't take away just the kindness of his heart and the things that he did. So I get it. And I think it wouldn't be as much of a factor if he wasn't named interim coach. I think it would just be a story, him coming back when he was named quarterback coach or whatever it was when he got there. But because he's named the interim coach, I think it's a little bit different. And, of course, you're in the spotlight when you're named the coach, the head coach. So I think that's where we are on it. I do think our fans are going to give him the respect and dignity he deserves because he was really good here. He won here. And I think fans will give him that. And he's owed that.
Yeah, I hope the PA announcer, you know, show some love. Even though it's Southern, I hope they say welcome home to, you know, Alcorn State Brave, Fred McNair. I just really do because of what you just said. And let me ask you this before we get ready to get up out of here. If there's a Mount Rushmore of football coaches at Alcorn State, does Fred McNair make that Mount Rushmore?
I think he does, for sure. You know, you look at Marino Castle and what he did when he was here. You look at Jay Hobson when he was here. So I think there is no doubt that what Fred McNair did, you have to put him right up there amongst one of the top football coaches we've ever had here. Of course, he was hired here by Jay Hobson as the quarterback's coach. And, of course, when Jay Hobson left to go to USM, he was named head coach. So what Fred McNair did here was something special. I mean, we were the best team in the Eastern Division. Of course, when we moved to the West after COVID and all of that, it was kind of different. But when in the East, we won 6 straight division titles. Fred McNair was a part of that. I don't know if that's ever going to be done again in this conference, Pierre White. 6 straight division titles. I don't think that's going to happen again. I mean, Jackson is doing well, but, you know, they got a little mountain to climb to catch that. But I think, if you're just being honest about it, I mean, they got a little ways to go. But, winning 6 straight division titles is in this conference, it was unheard of at the time, considering you had a lot of good teams. Jackson State was kind of, and Jackson was down at the time, but you still at Alabama State, that was tough. You had A&M, you had Aquil Glass and that crew with Maynard that was doing some good things. We were able to navigate that. That's when we're in the Eastern Division. It's been a struggle in the West. You know, hopefully we'll get back up there. But to answer your question, I think Fred McNair should be, at least in my opinion, he is amongst one of the top football coaches ever to grace the sidelines here.
Charles Edmond, the voice of the Alcorn State Braves for everybody out there listening this morning. Charles, I want to say thank you for joining me this morning, man. He's already at the stadium. They getting the grass and everything ready. They getting it ready for us, Jaguar Nation. Now, Charles, I don't know how many of us are going to show up today, but some we should have at least some fans there. And let me ask you this, man, before you get ready to go. Let the people know, how can they keep up with you and follow you for all that you do?
I'm on Facebook. I appreciate that. I'm on Facebook, Charles. That's pretty standard, straightforward. On X, Tall Man Radio. So I post things, interviews, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So that's how you can follow me. And to answer your question, Peter White, now, I will say this. In years past, when Southern and Alcorn have gotten together here, you know, this place, you know, the parking lot will be full, cars all over the place, tailgating. It's not quite that. When I got on campus probably about 5:30, and I remember, even though the game's at 3, I remember in years past when this game was really, really big and huge, the line would be halfway down the stretch. But it just shows you where things are. You know, we're not where we want to be. Southern's not where they want to be. And like you said, it's not quite the same. So I get it. I understand it. And hopefully folks will show the cloudy skies here right now. Slight chance of rain, I think we'll be okay. But it's definitely not the same as it once was several years ago when Alcorn and Southern were really going at it.
I just hope I don't hear Cherokee all night, Charles.
That's you're going to hear that. That is something you might as well bring your earplugs because you're going to get plenty of Cherokee. At least we hope anyway.
I guess I just have to deal when I get there. Everybody, that is the voice of Charles Edmond. He is the voice of Alcorn State Braves. And, Charles, I appreciate you this morning, my brother.
All right, appreciate it, Perry.
All right, everybody, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the other side. Listen, call in and talk to me if you want to. 225-499-1073. I've been hearing some crazy stuff about the coaches people want at Southern. I mean, some things are outrageous, but if you want to call and say to who you think, who you want, you know, I mean, talk to me. After last week, me going to Pine Bluff, certain words I want to use, but I can't use, but it happened to us up there in Pine Bluff. Hey, if you want a coach and you say this coach, you want to say it publicly, call in. I'm going to talk to you about who I think. I'm going to keep this conversation going. But once again, I'm giving you the platform, 225-499-1073. I ain't heard from Chris. William, last time William called, he got on me. William, where? Yeah, who you want to be the coach? Chris, who you want to be the coach? I mean, anybody. Who do you want to be the coach at this point at Southern University? All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. More Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody. Good morning. This is the Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us, everybody, on Talk 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area. A vast amount of land that we're covering this morning of listeners and everybody in the other part of the land across the world watching and listening on our YouTube and Facebook. Let's go to the call lines. We got my man Chuck this morning. Chuck, what's up?
Yes, good morning to you all. Doing fine. I'm going to be brief. Dad just went off. They show you how much those jobs, pressure cooker jobs, that's something they have a foundation for Charles McClendon. Yeah, he found out it wasn't easy at LSU. You know, he's on Paul Diesel's staff when they won that 1958 national championship, and he became head coach. But what happened, couldn't beat Bear Bryant. That's what happened. He ended up losing his job. He even had winning seasons. And you know, that Southern, same thing. That's going to be the question for any coaches interested in that job. Do you have the temperament for the job? Because it is a pressure cooker, just like Florida A&M, now Grambling, or North Carolina A&T. Do you have the temperament for those jobs? Because much is expected of you, but that's going to be my landing gear.
Appreciate you, Chuck.
All right, you all take care. Have fun and be safe.
Yes, sir. All right, let me do this real quick because I didn't really do much of it. Let's look back at last week's game. Of course, I was up in Pine Bluff. I did not like the outcome. I'm actually embarrassed. I'm super embarrassed, to be honest. A team that you were 44-11 against coming into that game. Every dog got his day, right? Every Jaguar, I guess, has his day. But it was the way that day went from the very opening kickoff, muffing the kickoff and botching it and then setting up UAPB right there to go right in. It was over with as that thing kicked off. And Southern never could get anything going. Trey Holly was caught in the backfield. The O-line just was not there. And then nonetheless, it was so much more embarrassing because there was a social media video that was put out there that saying, you know, from some players, we were going to get our first win. And then after the game, UAPB's head coach Alonzo Hampton, the football team, mimicked that social media post and did it back at Southern. Everything about it was embarrassing. And even more so, now my mother has 1 year to gloat about beating Southern. And I can't stand for that. And I love her to death. I just can't stand for that. And everybody in Pine Bluff was like, take your butt back to Baton Rouge with this L. And I can take an L. I can. I don't have a problem with it. Ain't none of y'all undefeated in no fights. Ain't none of y'all ever been undefeated in nothing you ever played in life. Ain't none of y'all undefeated at nothing. We all take L's. But it's how you take an L. Like, if I'm throwing hands, I'm using hands throwing this morning. And you just got me. Hey, that was a good fight. But if you knock me out, hey, Southern got knocked out last week. You want some of this too, old man? No. That was Southern last week. No, I don't want none of this. You got it, Debo. We let UAPB Debo us. I don't even know if y'all saw the highlights. All the incredible one hand. I mean, it didn't literally. I don't know what UAPB team that was. I really don't. The catches I saw for touchdown, there were three total in the game. Two only counted for a touchdown because that third one, which was an incredible one-handed catch, The receiver just got out of bounds as he was bringing in. I don't know what got into UAPB. Their D-line was pushing around our offensive line. They were knocking us all across the park. I'm over it. 40-21 was the final score. UAPB 389 total yards in this game. 231 in the air, 158 on the ground for Southern. The penalties, 14 penalties for over 120 yards in this ball game. That is not a disciplined team. 296 total yards of offense for Southern, 222 in the air, only 74 yards rushing. Once again, I'm embarrassed, very much so. I thought I was embarrassed after the Bethune-Cookman game, but Bethune-Cookman turned out to be a lot better team than what we thought, but I'm truly embarrassed now. I don't have no problem telling you publicly. I've had conversations with everybody. I'm saying it out loud. This is the truth. This is what I've heard. This possibly is the worst Southern football team in football history at Southern. I could ask the craziest question in the world on how we got here, but I know how we got here. You know how we got here. We all know how we got here. Now the question is, how the hell do we get away from here? I don't like it. Y'all don't like it. We don't like it. Let's just come together. Now, I've been hearing the crazy stories. I mean, even with head coaches, man. I mean, I've heard Tyrann Mathieu, Marshall Faulk, Ed Orgeron. I mean, just you throw it out there, you know, I done heard it. But let me tell y'all something before I get ready to go to break. And this is how I feel. I'm nobody else. I'm just Perry. And listen, I respect everybody's opinion. But damn it, I have been on this show over and over and over and over trying to get not only you as the fans and the listeners, but the administration and everybody else to understand what is it that we want moving forward, because we at rock bottom. This is a rebuild. This is a climb out of hell of where we at right now as a football program. And it just does not happen overnight. So from all of the names that I've been hearing and what I've been telling you guys here on this radio show and other places, do you want to just get a name of a guy that's familiar that you think can coach, or do you want to be in damn FCS top 25 program? That's championship to Perry. Not SWAC good, not HBCU good. Once again, do you want to be the best damn can I say damn? Okay. Do you want to be the best damn FCS football program in the state of Louisiana? Because I can assure you, if you are the best FCS football program in the state of Louisiana, you will win a SWAC championship and you will win a Celebration Bowl. I can assure you that. So now the question is, do you want a coach that you want to see and say, hey, let's let him figure it out? And it's a hit or miss. Take DeSean Jackson at Delaware State. Hey, he hit this year. It hit. They won last night. They are in the driver's seat right now to win the MEAC and potentially go to a Celebration Bowl. Delaware State, which I think, for me, keep DeSean Jackson's name in the mix. I had an opportunity to interview Nemo Washington, his offensive coordinator. They're the number one rush team in all of FCS football up there at Delaware State. But it did miss with Michael Vick. But the names that I have continued to throw out there are FCS coaches that are a part of the FCS landscape. 225-499-1073 is the number if you want to call in. Once again, I'm Perry White. I'm just one person. Some people say, well, who the hell is he? What does he know? I know enough. I know enough. And for me, I know what I want to see Southern be. An FCS top 25 program, because ask somebody when was the last time we were in the top 25. Even though we played for some SWAC championships, did we win them? No. We want to be the top program because you're recruiting against other FCS programs with the talent-rich athletes that you have within the state of Louisiana, and you will lose out to them to the other schools that you cannot beat in the state of Louisiana, i.e. not named Grambling State. So, I hear all of these names. But once again, it's why I continue to yell, if there's a front runner for me, Joel Taylor, the University of West Georgia. He's one of the top defensive minds in all of FCS football. He took a Mercer defense that was ranked in 100s, which is probably where Southern's defense is now. The 100s of all of the nation, and brought them to number 17. He is transitioning. Now, I'm saying his name. I don't know what money he wants. I don't know what kind of discussion. I'm just saying I'm talking to somebody who can damn well turn around a program and build it. And I don't care about a name. It don't got to be a famous name. It has to be a proven body of work in this day and age of what we have continuously done is hired by names and not by body of work. He has transitioned University of West Georgia from Division II to Division I, and he has beaten two schools that have beaten the hell out of SWAC schools this year. He came to Nichols, beat the hell out of Nichols, and he just beat the University of Central Arkansas, who continuously beats UAPB by 40 points. But SWAC good, remember that. That's what y'all like. I got a problem with that. Now, I think differently. I am different. I'm considered so-called an outsider who's an insider. I'm not the traditional Southern way. And I won't be, and I never will be. I love Southern. I got my own idea of Southern. I don't have a lineage of Southern. I'm not legacy to Southern. I love Southern for what Southern is. But my I always say this, my love lies within the institution and never the individual. The institution will be here when all of those other individuals, there's plenty of folks in the grave right now. But the school is still here. But I'm tired of coming on here, and then I just realize people, they just like names. Just give me a name, and I like it. Oh, that sounds good. But are you doing your homework on these people? So I'm just saying, I'm not with the old way. We done the old way. Look what it's got us. Two coaches later, here we are. Three coaches later, here we are. And Southern, do you really want this? Because if you really want this, now we got to make the investment, and I hold you to the fans accountable. We're going to have to put our money where our mouth is to be able to help the next staff. We need funds to get recruiting. This is what's wrong with this team this year. They did a horrible job at recruiting, no doubt about it. You cannot look at that field and say we did a good job at recruiting. We did not. There is some talent. There is some talent. But we're going to have to get guys to actually go in and recruit the transfer portal and not watch a 3-minute highlight and say this guy's good. Watch a 15-minute of this guy's game. So when he get here, we see the things that he does good. But what does he do bad so we can work on it? Yeah, he a good damn running back, breakaway speed. He can hit the hole. But what does he look like in pass blocking? So when he gets here, maybe we got to develop him in pass blocking as an example. We got to recruit the high school kid. We got to do our due diligence to scout. Also, for me, we don't have to continuously go up to FBS trying to get this group of five, power five guys. Hey, there's plenty of talent that we need to be developing up from the NAIA, Division II, and Division III that are hidden gems that ain't going to cost you an arm and a leg that we already don't have trying to pay a prima donna guy to come in that feel like he's better than the program. Not all, but some. When you get a taste of the other side and then you come back, hey, it's like going to live in the suburb and then you come back to the hood. You look at things just a little bit different. Let's take a break. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. Back, it's the Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. Good morning, everybody. I know I see some people say I was hollering at y'all. I'm not hollering at y'all. This is passion. And I see somebody in the comment. Who is this? Blue706. You talking about why do I come on here and talk about negative? This ain't negative. This is real. Ain't nothing negative about what I'm saying. This ain't beating no dead horse. Did you listen to the show last week? I didn't even mention this last week. So you can miss me with that. What you're hearing right now is a passionate person that went on the road. You traveling and going to these games and watching what's happening? Ain't nothing negative about what I'm saying. Everything of what I'm saying is passionate. What's negative of how we got here? The Southern way has been us ignoring and saying, well, you're speaking negatively. Don't say that out loud. We don't need to let everybody know what we're doing. Well, look where we at. The worst damn team in Southern history. A 7-game losing streak and not a win in conference play. And you telling me I'm being negative? The record is already negative enough? No, what I'm trying to do is open eyes to what we can do because the possibilities are endless. Right now, what has happened, we have gotten content with this way of swag good, wanting to be swag this and swag that when we act like there's not a whole world out there. And I get frustrated because guess what? Regardless of the fact you get the list in which you don't have to, anybody at any given time can turn this off and go listen to anything else. But I'm the one got a report on this. I'm the one watching this. Not only am I doing this, I'm doing a coach's show with my man Ty Stern. I'm all the way entrenched. I'm at the press conference on Tuesdays. So it's frustrating. Ain't nothing negative about this. I'm not the one going out there losing the games. So don't say it's negative enough and I'm beating a dead horse. No, this is the reality of the world. You can be the one to put your head in the sand and act like it don't exist and it's going to be a brighter day. It's the same way why I brought the politicians on here this morning, because we got to have conversations about what's going on. You just don't elect nobody and just fall back once you elect them and swear that they're going to take care. No, you continue to do your part to put your foot on the gas and let them know either you happy or you're not happy. And I think I speak for the Jaguar Nation right now. You are not happy. If you were in Pine Bluff and saw the fans that did show up that were in the stands and heard what they were saying, they were not happy. If you were at the FAMU game and saw the stands empty, that's the Jaguar Nation, not empty. If you listen to Charles Edmond this morning and said, hey, it ain't what it used to be at Alcorn this morning, that's letting you know the people are not happy. So it's just frustration. But it's passion. It's love. I have no issues with none of those coaches at Southern University because at the end of the day, they doing the best that they can do. If it's enough, it's not. It is what it is. Once again, it's strictly business. It's nothing personal. But I do have an issue when somebody tries to paint me like I'm the one being negative, but when I'm the one reporting. I just have an issue of the way we go about doing business because clearly bad business has gotten us to this point. And buyouts and payouts with nothing in return. 2 Swag Western Division titles, I appreciate that. But are y'all happy about that? Let's be honest. So if we're going to move forward, what is it that we want to move forward and how do we want to move forward? And I hear these names, but do you got time to wait on the guy to learn how to coach it? Do you want to go out and get a guy that's a proven winner, a proven program changer, and understands what this landscape, because this ain't what you think this is in terms of college football, of what we had in 2025 compared to just 5 years ago. It is a whole new landscape. You got to understand it, and you need to understand it to see why we at the place that we are today. All right, everybody, I hope you guys have a great week. I love y'all at the end of the day. I be yelling. I'm passionate. I love my Jaguars. I love y'all. Be safe on the road. As always, we'll be back at the same time, same place. As always, it's the Jaguar Journal. Have a good week.